So if you don't mind, if you have your Bibles, turn there. If not, I'll try to make sure you can follow along on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and the text will be almost, it's two paragraphs, so a little bit of reading, but I think that the reading is necessary so we get the Word of God in our mind before we try to explain it. So if you don't mind, let's honor God and stand together as I audibly read his word, and then we will ask his help in understanding what he has to say here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 14. And Dean, you may have to help me here because I don't do two things well. So if you could change when it's time to move along, I don't do one thing well. Beginning at verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on these parts of the body that we think honorable, we bestow the greater, on these parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving each greater honor to the part that lacked. We'll stop our reading there. Lord, as we bow together here, we just want to ask your help. We want to be more like Christ. We want to represent you well in this life. We want to be light and salt in the kingdom of God. We want to carry this gospel and be effective witnesses for you. And we just say today we want help in learning how to become more like Christ. And yeah. So would you help us now as we contemplate these verses to see and understand what you're saying to us. Help us to accurately apply it to our lives. And then, Holy Spirit, grant us both the power and the grace to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, all right. Our subject for today is we need each other by divine design. We need each other by divine design. And in some ways, you know, you've heard the old saying of preaching to the choir. I mean, I know what I'm saying here. You've probably heard before. But it's like watching a movie, right? You watch it a second and a third time, and you get little nuances that you didn't necessarily see the first time. It's like the old preacher. The preacher was getting complaints that he preaches the same sermon over and over and over again. And he says, well, when you get it, I'll stop preaching it. So I'm not saying that about you. I'm just saying that some of what we will say, I'm sure you've heard before. But just don't tune it out because you've heard it. Let's see if we can learn a little bit more, all right? Let's see if we look at it from a little different perspective, if we can see just a little bit more. The thing that's my passion here, is what's concerning me, is that I know that every church member gets tired. And we don't say it to each other, but everyone wants to quit sometimes. Yes? Yeah. You get tired. And that's not unique to you and me. I mean, that's a part of humanity to begin with. But the Bible record is left for us to see that it's typical in church history, and yet God has a remedy for it. And so I want us to talk about that today. I want us to be real about those times that we really do just get tired. And to think about some of the reasons why, and to see how the Bible wants us to address that issue. Because God didn't call us to be quitters. We agree there? Amen. God plans for us to finish, right? He who began this work in us will perfect it. He plans to finish it. And so we're going to think through some of the perspectives. And I'm only addressing the perspectives right here. There are many issues that cause us to get tired and exasperated and want to give up. But we're only going to talk about two of them as they are enumerated here. So let's begin with a few thoughts just to kind of be together at where we begin. Unity in purpose, or unity in our goals for the church, is essential for us to progress. We cannot progress without unity in our purpose, or at least unity in our goals. At the same time, diversity in the way we function, or diversity in our roles, is essential. So we must have unity and we must have diversity. They do not contradict each other. They are both essential for the church to be vibrant and active and effective. All right? The problem comes, though, as we see here with this church from the first century, is that there oftentimes in the church is we're divided on issues where we should be unified. Okay? As you see in the early part of this book, they were divided in that some were, they had loyalty to specific leaders in the church. I like this one. I like the way this one preaches, or I like the way this one leads, or I like the way. And so you got this divisive loyalty among members. Well, they should have been unified and functioning together. On the other side of that, you see with this church likewise that they were attempting to be unified on things where they should have been divided. Everybody is clamoring for one or two gifts because they seem to be so spectacular. If I did this, then I think my life would be fulfilled. It's really a tragic thing to see people aspiring to someone else's position, to see many people that aspire to be celebrities because you think your problems would be solved if you had money. And it's really tragic to see that, particularly a Christian, to not learn to be content in life, yeah? And it can happen among us when it comes down to our roles and the functions and the things that we do. You can find yourself discontent in what you do and just feel that I would be fulfilled if I was doing what this one does. So you see, we find ourselves attempting unity where we should be content with the diversity that God has provided. And what we're going to see here then is Paul is writing this letter to correct this problematic thinking. He's writing this letter because God does not want his church to have this kind of disunity. He does not want his church, in a lot of ways, to be ineffective because of this. It's not just an attitude. See, attitudes work their way out to action, or in some cases, a lack of action, because the attitude just cripples you. All right? And so, the sermon today is really, I'm trying to get out where the rubber meets the road. We're not going to be talking about platitudes. It's just where we all live. And where we all struggle. Because trust me, even though Tony and I and other leaders, we carry out our role, don't think we don't have struggle. Don't think we don't get tired and exasperated and have to struggle through giving up ourselves. Yes? So we're really going to try to be very genuine as we approach this subject matter. What I'm going to try to unpack for you is that these verses show us that there are two core, two root problems when it comes down to this kind of isolation and independent thinking and giving up thinking. The first one that he addresses here, verses 14 through 20, is where people are actually dissatisfied with themselves. And that's a real issue. I'm going to develop that in just a minute. And the second problem is where people are actually dissatisfied with other people, with other church members. Dissatisfied with yourself and dissatisfied with other church members. So let's dive in and look at the first one. Dissatisfaction with self. I want to show you how these verses show that when you're dissatisfied with yourself, it's going to lead to independent thought, isolated thought, okay? Now, track me as I try to unpack this. Diversity in the body of Christ actually reveals this independent thinking. Diversity actually surfaces this kind of isolation. Now, that's not the way it was designed, but that's the way it works. And I want to show you. When you're dissatisfied with yourself, the diversity brings out, unfortunately, the worst in you. This is the way. I want to establish some principles. You'll notice in verse 14 that diversity in the church, or diversity in the body of Christ, diversity is essential by definition, all right? By definition. You see verse 14? Hopefully I've got that for you. Verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. So the very definition of the body of Christ means that there's not just one church member. Now, obviously, he's using the physical body here, right, as an analogy, and applying it to us as the body of Christ. God never intended for anybody to think that the body of Christ is just one member. We don't say that, but you can work that way out, that your thinking will force you to have an attitude and actions that imply that the body of Christ can be one member. So, that's the first point. The second point is that diversity in the body of Christ is essential by God's design. You see verse 18, 19, and 20? Take a look at that. Verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. Look at verse 19. If all were a single member, where would the body be? I mean, this is just reasoning, right? Anybody reading this, if you're going to think reasonably, you say that's reasonable, right? If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. And so my premise there is that not only is diversity essential by definition, diversity in the church is essential by design. Next, I want you to notice the statement that I have here. I want you to look at it very carefully. Diversity is actually what reveals dissatisfaction and independence. And you got to think with me on this one, because you might say, well, what is it? It sounds like gobbledygook. No, this really, if you think about it, you'll see what God is opening up to us here. Diversity reveals this self-dissatisfaction and independence. Now let's go back to verses 15 and 16. You ready? Look at it again. I read it initially, but I want you to look at it carefully. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, here's the phrase, I do not belong to the body. Can you see the dissatisfaction in that member? Yes? The self-dissatisfaction, right? Look at it again. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong, right? So in other words, if I were a hand, then what? I would belong, but because I'm not a hand, I do not. You see it? I'm dissatisfied that I'm not a hand, so I have reached the conclusion that I don't belong. You see it? The isolation in thinking, well, that's an attitude that will ultimately work its way out in action. What did I just read? 15? That does not make it any less a part of the body. Verse 16. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, there's the phrase again, you see that? I do not belong to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body. So you, do you see the premise that I'm establishing here? That diversity that God designed, that is by definition and by design in the body, is actually what surfaces this independent kind of thinking. Now, let's unpack that a little bit more. What happens is when we start comparing ourselves to each other, right? Which the Bible cautions us never to do.
Right.
I'm never to look at you and compare me to you, or vice versa. Not in a competitive way, right? In a competitive sense. And when that happens, that is going to create self-dissatisfaction. Particularly if I perceive that you've got a more important role or a more your function is more recognized, or whatever word you want to use. Okay? So the issue that Paul is getting at here is that whenever we start doing this comparative thinking about each other, it always, always, always leads to inferiority thinking. Okay? You see what he says? If the foot perceives that it's inferior to the hand, then the foot reaches wrong conclusions.
Amen.
The foot assumes that since I'm not really as important as the hand, so I really don't belong. The body could get along without me. You see? The body doesn't need me. They won't miss me. Now you notice what has happened here? That kind of reasoning has led to them and me. See it? It's them versus me. Whenever you start doing this comparative thinking about each other, it always is going to lead to isolation. Rather than seeing ourselves as a whole. Now, I mean, obviously you think that is just, that's irrational if you look at your own body. Why in the world, if I could animate my hand and my foot, it's ridiculous that my hand and my foot would have that kind of thought. But we do it in the body of Christ all the time. Even if you don't tell people. That's his concern. When you got this kind of thinking going on, it's going to lead to attitudes and actions.
Amen.
And since I don't belong with it, I just won't do anything.
Right.
And we're just talking real, all right?
Amen.
The Bible has given to us. This is our medical manual, if you will. this Bible was given to us to know how to correct and prevent issues among us. So hopefully you see I'm not forcing anything on the text. Did you see this in the text?
Yeah.
This is what Paul was facing at the church at Corinth. And I'm simply mentioning it because I know that God doesn't want that for us. And I'm particularly concerned when I say us. People have a tendency to only think about my church. Now, I mean, God, there is the local church. But you also do understand that there's universal church.
Amen.
You can't start comparing. If I was like this megachurch, you see, I mean, you can do it in so many different ways. If my little church was like that one, then we would be so more effective. You see, that's when it's all just one church. Jesus died for the church. He's the head, and we're what?
The body.
We're the body. And Outpost and Trinity, we I think this is really important for us. When you look at us, what do you see? You see hand and feet? Or
You know, you saw the other analogy there.
Do you see a body? This is really important. Because we may be planning to change geography soon. We don't know. We don't really know what's going to happen. But even if we weren't geographically in the same place, the analogy does not change. Yes?
Amen.
Okay. And I don't have any. I don't have any agenda here. I'm just trying to. You understand? I'm just trying to exegete what I believe is here. I had a whole other thing I was planning to preach today. And those of you who taught lessons and preach, you know how that can go. I try to go on another subject and God just keeps bringing me back to this. I don't know why. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to be obedient as we look at this. Everybody good so far?
Amen.
All right. So then, diversity reveals this independence. But I'm also saying to you, that's not the way it should be. It should be, we should understand that diversity demands interdependence. If we're not careful, diversity will reveal that independent thinking and independence among us, but actually that diversity should demand among us interdependence to show us how much we really need each other. Now, I want to show how I developed that. If you'll notice verse 18, it's God himself who has designed, or if you will, composed the church with diversity. I know many of us, you feel like, well, I joined this church. And you did. But hopefully no Christian in here believes in luck and happenstance and chance. You can't believe in God and luck. I know I've heard many Christians use that term, but that's not true. We are not lucky. We are blessed.
Amen.
Yes?
Yes.
I mean, how can you believe that God causes all things to work together for good if you're just lucky? You understand? Why are you here? We really need to try to reconcile this. Why am I where I am? Is it by luck? No, it's by God's design. And so this diversity that we see here, you see verse 18? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. That's the point. God did it. He didn't ask you and I for it. This is not a democratic process. He knows what each church needs, and he sends people to fulfill, to meet that need. Yes?
Amen.
This is wonderful. If we could get our hearts and head around this, this would bring so much joy in what we do in the body of Christ. God designed this for me. It's customized for me. Isn't that wonderful? When you can find that kind of peace, God himself designed and composed the church with diversity. The next thing I want you to notice is that God's design for this diversity must correct wrong thinking about it. Now, look at verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Isn't that just reasonable? So, what is God saying to us? Willie, or whoever, just don't think that way. If the church were designed the way you're thinking right now, think of how ineffective, think of how lopsided the church would be if it was the way you're thinking right now. If the church didn't have your function, even though you don't think you belong, you need to shake yourself out of that wrong thinking. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Some of our body function, we just take it so for granted. I've not, on occasions,
I've had difficulty breathing, you know, for whatever reason. You ever had that? Isn't it shocking to not get oxygen in your lungs? I mean, you don't think? We just do it all the time. I mean, you didn't even think about it until I just said it. Nobody has to say, it's time to inhale, it's time to exhale. It's just that our bodies do it. But when you can't do it, it's when you really, what? Appreciate it. Or you don't think about your nasal passages or this kind of thing. Until they're not functioning. That's the way it is in the body of Christ. You don't think that your role is valuable. But if you don't function, the whole body knows it. Okay? So God wants to correct that kind of erroneous thinking. And it goes even further. Look at my statement here. Every true Christian is responsible and accountable. Now, what do you mean by that, Brother Willie? Go back to verse 15. Now, this is really important. You see verse 15? If the foot should say, let me give you that. Okay, you got it? Verse 15 and 16. Really, notice this now. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong. Look at that next phrase. That would not make it any less a part of the body, would it? Just because the foot says I don't belong doesn't mean it doesn't belong. Come on, Christian. I think a part of the problem with us is we got this American independence about us. I don't like this church. I'll find one that I do like. It's that we just got that kind of attitude. I got so many. It's like going to a restaurant with a smorgasbord. You just pick and choose what you want. But if you believe that God chose the church for you, I remember. I haven't got to my second point yet. Okay, let me try to get through this. I remember the married couple helped me with this a lot a little while back when they were. I was interviewing them about joining our church, and they said, "Willie, this is the second most important decision we've made in our life. The first one was to get married, and the second one is to join a church." Now, this is really, I think that's the point. We shouldn't join church casually. This isn't a casual sign-up thing. Just sign a card. This is the body of Christ. That's a functional, vibrant, active body. And you see, we're so accustomed to dysfunctional families and dysfunctional that we just get accustomed to churches that don't function well. That's not God's design. He wants us to be fully integrated, committed to Him and His work and His people. Even though you don't feel good. My wife's at home right now with a knee that feels bad. Now, if that knee says, "I don't feel too good today, I think I'm going to take a vacation for, I'm going to try to find me another body." That's irrational thinking. Well, I'm saying to you, it's the same with us. When you just decide, "I'm going to take a hike, I'm just going to quit, or I'm just going to sit in place. I'm just going to sit here and let the church go on around me. They don't appreciate me." You see? Now, I know many of us don't say that. But when that attitude presents itself, it's going to work its way out in actions. I'm not fussing today. I'm just trying to get us to get our arms around some reality. You with me so far? Amen. Just want to get our arms around some reality so that God's church would be glorified. So in this particular case, when you have said, "Yes, Lord, I believe you want me in this church body," you are both responsible and accountable for the way you function.
Amen.
And you say, "Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do." Then that's the reason you need to find out. God did not sign up casual observers.
Amen.
The body... Everybody needs what? Every part. Yes? And he needs every part functioning and healthy and vibrant.
So keep that in mind. My last statement there is that, and I sum it up this way, humility and perseverance must overrule feelings when it comes to ministry. All of us get tired and feel like quitting, but humility must overrule those feelings. You cannot be effective in anything really in life if you're going to follow your feelings all the time. You agree with that? Our feelings are fickle. We need that which is firm and solid. God says, I, the Lord, change. Now, God is the same. He's not back and forth. If he brought you here, he thought it through before he brought you here. Yes? If he chose you to be a part of this body, he thought it through before he brought you here. And he's saying to you and I, you've got to, this is the essence of that point, and I'm going to move on. Feelings of inferiority must submit to the word of God and the Spirit of God. We have got to get along with God and work through my feelings of inferiority so that I can be effective, an effective member of the body of Christ. That was much longer than I thought, but did you all follow me? You okay? Okay, so that's point number one. Point number two won't be nearly as long, okay? And you say, well, let's wait and see. So, I'm from Missouri, show me, right? So then that's one issue, is where people are dissatisfied with themselves. The second issue that's presented for us here is when people are dissatisfied with others. Is that real? Anybody that's had to work with other people knows that's real. Really. It's amazing. One of the old reformers said this. We are so hard on everybody else's sin, but we cuddle our sin, you know. Our sin is just like, it's so precious. But everybody else's sin is awful. And my brother, my sister, it can be the same way with among ourselves. We can be so hard on other people, but we don't really take a careful look in the mirror at ourselves. And that's the issue with this that we're going to talk about right now. Dissatisfied with others. This diversity likewise reveal this kind of independence. Diversity reveals dissatisfaction with other church members and this independence. You see verse 21? The eye cannot say to the hand, excuse me, let me get that for you. You got it? You see that? The eye cannot say to the hand, what's the issue? I, you see that? Have no need of you. Do you see the dissatisfaction with others? I have no need of you. Since I'm dissatisfied with you, I don't need you. You get it? The other one was dissatisfied with myself. I look at you and I feel inferior. You can probably see what this one is going at, right? Right. It's just the opposite here. And so I say I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And so diversity is what reveals this kind of independent thinking. Notice my statement here. It's not very many words, but would you look at it and think about it? Over-exaggerated self-worth is irrational. Is that up there? Can you think about that a minute? Over-exaggerated self-worth is irrational. And well, what does that gobbledygook mean? Romans 12:3, I believe this says this way. We should not think more highly of ourselves than what? Than we ought to think. Which means that many of us do what? Think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And what Paul is getting at here is that that over-exaggerated estimation of yourself and that over-exaggerated self-worth is irrational. When you think you don't need someone,
you have gone irrational in the body of Christ. Okay?
This is the feeling of superiority. Feeling superior to other members leads to independence likewise. Since I'm not satisfied with the people working with me in this ministry, I'll just do it by myself. Or even better than that, I'll just quit. I'll just withdraw. Because I don't need people. I'm a lone ranger. I can do it alone. See? Independence.
And that is just as dangerous as the feeling of inferiority, the feeling of superiority. Because ultimately it still gets to them and who? Me. Them, I don't need them, I can do it alone.
Right.
That is independent thinking. Now, diversity, though, in this case demands interdependence. And you see, this is a really, really, really important verse. You see verse 22? You got it? Look at verse 22. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are what? Indispensable. You get that? The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are actually parts that you cannot function without. Isn't that amazing? For those who reach the point of where you think you don't need someone, God says, you have thought way more highly of yourself than you should. Now, this is the way this thinking is to be corrected. Am I at the right place? Yes, we just looked at those verses, didn't we? Okay. No, we didn't. We got to look at verses 23 through 25. Church members, this is a really important point. Look at it. Church members with public ministry desperately need the members without public ministry by divine design. Now, can you follow that? Church members who have public ministry, who are visibly ministering in the public, need people working where? Behind the scenes. Because it's typically people working behind the scene that will develop the inferiority complex. And people in the out front ministry have a temptation to think, I don't what? Need them. God says, you're wrong. You're wrong. I designed the body of Christ for you to need everybody that's working behind the scene. You get the point? Members that function in the background keep the church alive and functional. Paul asked members to pray for him. At all of these venues where he visited, he asked those members to pray for him. They weren't with him, but they were behind the scene praying, pleading with God, interceding on his behalf. And he said, I've been delivered by your prayers. He asked people to support him financially, right? They weren't with him, but they were behind the scene funding all. He was on the front line interacting with some awful circumstances, but he had people behind the scene of supporting him financially. It's the same right here. There are people praying that you know nothing about, praying for you, praying for all of us, interceding, and we don't know any, but God is using them to effectively help us in life and in our situation. People financially supporting the work of the ministry, yes? We need people who are going to handle the maintenance. And think of what this church would be if those who took care of all of the preparations didn't do it before we got here. Yes? We need those operating in the backgrounds, those who handle the communion elements and maintenance and assist the elderly and infants, those who make phone calls and visits to our members, those who evangelize and assist the poor, and on and on and on. And so I end that point this way. Feelings of superiority must submit to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And so in conclusion,
I want to end as honest as I began. There are times in everyone's life when you want to quit or give up. And sometimes it may be because you're dissatisfied with yourself or dissatisfied with other people. Now, I really want to bring this down where the rubber meets the road. It happens in families. A mother can feel totally unappreciated. And all the mother said, amen. Or a wife can feel totally unappreciated, right? Because of all that you do behind the scenes. And the family just walks in as if it's just given. It's just, yes. It's real. And you just get tired of being unappreciated. And so you feel like you don't belong. This family can get along without me. But that's irrational thinking, yes? It can happen on a job. You've been overlooked so much. Yeah? And you feel like they did. Nobody here appreciates what I do. I get in early. I stay late. Nobody appreciates what I do. But for the Christian, God says that you need to remember, when you go to that job, you're rendering service as unto who? As to the Lord, okay? So he sees even if they don't. And I mean, you can, in school, people, some of you students can think that you're the one that's, you don't cheat on your test. You're not doing all of the other things that other students are doing, and it looks like you just get overlooked. But don't quit. This independent thinking can manifest itself in so many different ways. This dissatisfaction and frustration can lead to irrational and independent thoughts, irrational and independent words, irrational and independent actions. Feelings of inferiority and isolation, listen to me, are not healthy for the body of Christ. You may think that you don't bother anybody when you feel inferior. You're wrong, my brother and my sister. You remember how did Jesus say it? It's from the heart that things reach the mouth, right? The things that we say, you may blame someone else for it, but Jesus said it came from where? It was there all along. Somebody might have pushed the button to get it out, but if it had not been in you, it would not have come what? Out of you. So we need to own what we say.
Amen.
And so when we're thinking wrong, and I'm just being real here, all of us have those times you know you've said something you regret. You know you regret it when it comes out. You're not going to say it, but you know you regret that. Yes? And God is trying to keep us back from those kinds of things. Words can wound other members. Some of us have been wounded by words, and you know how deep the wound can be. The words come from someone who's hurting, who hasn't learned to work through feeling of inferiority. All the words can come from someone who has this feeling of superiority and doesn't realize how much they've wounded you. We all need to work through these feelings and these issues because it's unhealthy for the body of Christ. Feeling of superiority and isolation are not healthy either. These feelings and attitudes make the church ineffective. They damage the reputation of Christ. And they cause much harm in the lives of individuals. People are hurt because of these things. Well, Brother Willie, what are you really saying? I've been waiting to get to this. I'm saying to you there's a better way. For those of you who have ever read, I didn't write this down. But for those of you who have ever read 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, you know how 1 Corinthians 12 ends, with all these problems that Paul has been talking about, listen at it. And I show you a still more excellent way. How many know what 1 Corinthians 13 is about? Yes? You know what he's about to talk about, don't you? Rather than competing with each other and feeling inferior or superior, what's the more excellent way? The way of love. The way of love. And my brother, my sister, that's my message to you today. Love will keep you from feeling inferior. Love will keep you from feeling superior. Love will make you satisfied and thankful in Christ Jesus. And so my message to you today is, let's learn to love God and each other with all our hearts.
Amen.
There is no competition here. Yes? Amen. We are not competing with each other. We're on the same side. We're in the same body. We are one by design. And yet we are different. What? By design.
Yes.
So if anything, let's thank God for the diversity.
Amen.
And learn how to function just as we are. Wouldn't that be wonderful? To see everyone satisfied with the way God made you? Oh! To be satisfied with the way God made you? That's life. That's, the Bible calls that contentment. And you said, really, it took you 40 minutes to get to that. Yeah, it did. It did. It did. But I hope you understand what I'm saying. God wants us to love life and have good days. He doesn't want us fussing and struggling. That's not his design. There's a better way, yes? Let's learn to love God and especially learn to love each other. And if you're not a Christian, then I would simply say to you, you have not experienced the amazing unity of belonging to the body of Christ. You have not experienced the joy of being in the family of God. Some of y'all know this about me, some of you may not. I'm an only child. And so for me, becoming a Christian was the first time I really had real brothers and sisters. Some of y'all have siblings. And I know it's different with blood siblings, but even if you got siblings, and many, I've got other friends who have many siblings that are not Christians. And still, even with blood siblings, when you come into this family, this is wonderful.
Yes, it is.
This is wonderful. And my friend, if you're not a Christian, I just want to invite you. Come. Just come and see how the Bible said, taste and see.
Yes.
This is good.
Yes, it is.
This is good living here. Amen. In the body of Christ. Lord, would you just... my words just fail so often, and where I fail today to communicate your heart and your truth and your message, would you just go beyond my words and reach the hearts of your people? Holy Spirit, I know you're able. I know you're able to conform us, to shape us into the body of Christ that brings glory to you. The body of Christ that edifies each other. The body of Christ that nurtures and cares for each other. The body of Christ that loves each other. And so Holy Spirit, I'm just calling upon you. Would you do this work in us? We are here today. Not by luck and chance. You chose, you designed who would be here today. Would you help everyone present who knows and loves Christ to say yes and amen to you and be committed to grow in grace and in Christ and to make the body of Christ healthy for your glory, for the building up of the work of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, I'd like to do something a little special today, if you don't mind. Could we just take a minute, bow together? Phil's got a song he's going to play. Then I'm going to ask the band to come, and we're going to prepare for communion, all right? So let's just bow together for just a minute and think about it.